kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
The title today the Lord, I believe, has given is The Mind Being Renewed to Walk by Faith. The mind being renewed to walk by faith. We know that when God meets with us and he puts his nature, his heart, his spirit within us, he also comes to equip for us to be able to walk in his ways. He doesn't leave us destitute, but we know that through the power of the Spirit, he empowers us, baptizes us in the Spirit, in which we can walk this walk, which otherwise would be impossible. And we've been talking over the last few weeks, as you know, about faith, and we've been going back over the basic principles of why it is faith that pleases God. And we get faith as we read God's word, as we hear his word. But I want to take it a step further, because the battle we have is in the mind. And the enemy knows where he attacks. He holds the world in their mind. Man's mind is confused, deceived, until Almighty God touches your life. And so we know that when God meets with us, we then find that there is major spiritual surgery started to be worked on our minds, because our minds are very much like computers. If you put wrong information in, wrong information comes out. And so the Spirit of God begins to renew our minds. And he does this as we come together, as we get into the Word of God, as we embrace the truth. Then we find that the things that we thought were of God or whatever, God begins to unravel. In other words, what I'm saying, God is the greatest psychiatrist. Man can only go so far, but he cannot touch and change the heart. Only God can do that. And so that is why we're calling this teaching today, The Mind Being Renewed to Walk by Faith. And I want to base this first off in a verse of scripture you know well, in 1 Corinthians 2:16. And here it tells us, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And we have that by faith. That is what's given to us through the new birth. And now that we have the mind of Christ, he's beginning to deliver us from wrong thinking, from wrong mindsets, from deception, things that we have not understood in the Word of God, or where man has taught us wrongly. The Holy Spirit has come now to teach us and lead us and guide us. This is why I always say you get it from God himself. You don't go via through man. It is God who teaches us and leads us and inspires us. So that is why the mind is being renewed, in which to walk by faith. Now, I'm very familiar of a story that you all know very well in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, we know the story here of where Samuel was presented before God. Remember Hannah, who was seeking God for a child, and she bore and she had Samuel, and she gave him over to Eli into the house of God, and there he was consecrated and separated for the Lord. And then we find that the lad begins to grow up and God begins to speak to him. He begins to call him. And let's take it from First Samuel chapter 3. We'll take it from verse 1 and we'll lead into this because maybe some of you are not so familiar with this story. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 onwards. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no windspread revelation. So no revelation, no widespread revelation around Israel. Almost unheard of. The voice of the Lord, the word of God, wasn't what it should have been. Very similar today. And it goes on, and it came to pass at the time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel and answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again Samuel. And so Samuel rose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the words of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and he went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears and everyone who hears it will tingle." And so it goes on, and also the Lord speaks about how God is going to judge, because as we know, Eli, he had sons who were priests and they were corrupt. They brought corruption into the house of the Lord. And so it goes on. But verse 10, this is what I'm looking at. Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." And that principle works with us. Now we know, of course, that Samuel was called. He was a judge. He was the last judge, and also he was a prophet. And we know that this was the time when Israel was calling for a king. They didn't want God anymore as their king, so the Lord let them have a king, and that was Saul. And Saul caused nothing but trouble in Israel. But that was leading to the true king, the anointed king, King David. But all of that's recorded in scripture. But really what I want to emphasize is on verse 10. You see, because we have been listening, some of us for years, it doesn't mean that I will listen to everything he says. And this is a lot of our problem. We've been coming, we've been listening, we've had our trials and tribulations, but it doesn't mean that we're always listening to everything. And this is a lot of the problem. And here we can glean a principle of how Samuel was called. See, Samuel didn't know the voice of the Lord until Eli told him how to approach God. And when he said, speak for your servant listens, and then he began to hear the voice of God. And that, of course, is how a prophet is called. A prophet hears the voice of God. He hears God's voice speak in his ear, or the way that God will speak. God can speak in many, many ways. And God speaks to us. But it doesn't mean that we listen to everything that he says. And this is all some of the problem. You see, often there is a working on the mind that hinders why we're not always listening. And this is why I'm calling this teaching, the mind being renewed to walk by faith. We cannot walk this walk of faith unless the mind is being renewed. We've been going back over the basics of faith over the last few weeks, and the Lord reveals to me now one of the major hindrances why faith has not worked sometimes as it should, because we're not always willing to hear. We hear when it suits us, what mood we are in, or what I've gone through, or trials or tribulations or whatever it is. And God has to get us to that place where, like Samuel, he waits, he listens to God speak. And this is why I always say, when we come to these meetings, before we come, we should be in prayer, prayed up, ready to be able to receive the word of God, so that we walk by faith and not by sight in these last days. You see, we have to remember that God has been doing a tremendous work of deliverance, and probably still is, over our minds. Because as we revealed to you in 1 Corinthians 2:16, he says, but you have the mind of Christ. There's a promise. Whatever your mind is going through, whether it's under attack, many, many times I confess that when my mind is all over the place, I have the mind of Christ. There is a promise in 1 Corinthians 2:16. And he's working his mind into us so that we experience his mind, his voice, his word. You see, we have to remember our circumstances, what we come out from. When we were babies and children, we were under a lot of wrong influence until we came to Christ. You know, some of us were brought up weaned. We were indoctrinated. We listened to a lot of our parents and their parents' prejudice. We listened to a lot of their political ideas and leaders that they liked, or various movements that they followed. We've had wrong ideas about God, or wrong ideas about the church, or whatever it was. I mean, I was brought up hearing many, many times there are more hypocrites in church than there are in the world. And there's probably truth to that. But that was my attitude for a long time, because that's what I heard. Or we're affected by parents because they have deep rejection problems. Maybe mother or father rejected them, or whatever it is. And so they have that problem and pass that problem on to their children. Or you may have had a mother or father who was an alcoholic or on drugs, and that was your experience as a child growing up. or you have parents that often lied and were deceptive, didn't always speak the truth or held truth from you, or you grow up in an abusive environment where you saw mother and father fighting one another, or you were brought up in an environment where there was stealing going on, or mother or father in deep depression or just ill health, or a father that didn't provide or had a real gambling problem. And it can just go on. You can add your list to all of that. We have been brought out of those environments. And this is why God has to renew the mind. This is why he works deliverance in us. For what purpose? To be able to walk totally by faith in these last days. And it's the same principle how God called Samuel. You have to hear from God. You see, all of this can affect us. It can affect us how we hear. We often show, don't we, a lack of love and respect for the Lord, as our hearts and minds can be so elsewhere. We can sit and listen to a sermon, but our hearts, our minds are on other things. Or we're planning tomorrow or next week, I'm going away somewhere, or wherever it is, and our minds are all on that. How disrespectful. And then we wonder why faith doesn't come by hearing the word of God. You see, if you love someone, you generally want to please them. That's what you do if you love someone. And what does Jesus tell us in John 15 and verse 4? John 15 and verse 14. John 15 and verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. He's quite clear. He said, you are my friend if you do what I tell you to do, because I don't get it wrong. And that's what friends do. You want to please a friend. Somebody who's close to you, you'll do whatever you can. And yet when it comes over to the Lord, it's completely a different thing. We're not always believing his word. Well, I can tell you one thing he's telling us. He's commanding us to believe upon his word. That I do know. Not only to believe upon it, but to act upon it. Have we missed a command of God recently? Has he commanded something for you to do, but you've missed it? Thank God he doesn't give up on us. But all of that tells us, when we don't do what he says, that he's still renewing our minds. The mind has to be worked on still in order to be able to walk by faith. It is not rocket science. And so this is what he's doing with us. Now, as I said, if you love the Lord, there is something within you that wants to please him, wants to do it his way. And very often we don't want to do that in the flesh. It'll always be against what naturally we want to do. But that's where the grace and mercy of God comes in. That's why he says, my grace is sufficient. There are times sometimes when I just don't feel like I want to preach. It's just in the flesh. The mind's trying to take it on. But if you love the Lord and you know what he's asking of you, then you know his grace is sufficient. And it always is. And once you move into it, then the blessing is there. The quickening is there. And you know you've done the right thing. But we can find we're in these battles in the mind. And the truth is, we don't always hear him. But I'll tell you something, he always hears us. What does it say in John 11 and verse 41? John 11 and verse 41. This is the raising of Lazarus. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Thank you, Father, you have heard me. They are in dialogue. He is hearing his Father, and he knows that his Father is hearing him. Just like the calling of Samuel, and the same with your calling. Did you know that if we come to these meetings, we pray for the word, we pray for ourselves, we're hearing from God? It's not rocket science, this. And God is showing us some of the hindrances why we're not always hearing him. And he's still doing that work of deliverance. I remember years back, I would be sometimes in a prayer meeting and my mind would wander off and I'd be planning the week out or something I was going to do tomorrow or some job that I had to do, and then I'd have to bring my mind back and concentration back on the Lord and so forth. We've all been through that. You've been through that. This is where God is delivering us. And this is where we cast down those thoughts. But we're not always diligent on that. Sometimes it takes us a while where our minds have been planning and working a thing out, and then suddenly we realize what our minds are doing. And then we get, oh yes, cast that down. I reject that in Jesus' name. And we focus our mind back on the Lord and his word or whatever he's called us to do. They are the battles sometimes that we go through. But Jesus knew here that his Father had heard him, and he knew exactly what was going to happen. God was going to raise him from the dead because he heard. And he said, I thank you, Father, you've heard me. You've heard what I'm going to do. I'm going to raise this man from the dead, and I thank you. You've heard me. Now, that's not just for Jesus, that is for you and me as well, so that our faith works. You see, I'm one, you are one, you're united with him. And so we should hear him all the time. There shouldn't be that brokenness there. And as we're still, and we come before him and in prayer, as we open the word up, as we come into this room and we hear him speak. I know what God is speaking about today. I know what he wants me to hear today. He's telling me he's renewing still my mind so that I can walk by faith. He's showing me still what he's doing with my life. Do you see that? That's the question. Because I'm hearing what he's saying. And I don't question it. We're still a work in progress. He's the potter, we're the clay. He's still moulding us. And today he wishes to address the fact that our minds still need are being worked on to be renewed. There's still hindrances there that are stopping us from walking by faith as he wants to. Can you not see the love and mercy of God, how he's delivering us to get us to walk by faith in these last days? Because very few of God's people who confess his name are really hearing what God is saying. You have always been taught to go to God yourself and hear yourself from the Lord. You have never, ever been taught that you can only hear God speak to you through the preacher. That is control. That is bondage. You have never been taught that. You have been taught to go before God and to hear God speak to you, just like Eli told Samuel. Because he knew that God was speaking to him. And I know that God speaks to you. And that's why I tell you to go before him and wait and listen. So that you too know, I thank you, Father, you have heard me. Isn't that wonderful when you can pray or when you're called to minister or whatever it will be? Thank you, Father, you have heard me and I have heard you. That's how you're built up in faith. That's where the confidence of faith comes, whatever's happening. And look at this situation with Jesus. This man has been dead for days. It says, roll back the stone. Most of us would, our minds would be under huge attack. Is this going to happen or isn't it? There's all these people watching. I'm going to look an absolute idiot if nothing happens. Nothing at all. Jesus isn't even thinking like that. All he knows is, my Father's heard me. How does he know that? Because he's one with him. He has revelation. He hears the voice of God. Samuel was taught to hear the voice of God, and you are being taught to hear the voice of God, to walk by faith in these last days. We are so privileged, brothers and sisters. You are called for this. You are called for the throne of God. You are called to be part of the man-child. You were given revelation right at the beginning of what God has called you for. The same as the saints, all here in the Bible, had a calling on their life. You have a calling on your life. To be an overcomer, to be part of the first fruit rapture, a calling to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. That is a calling. Do you hear that? If not, go before him and say, speak, Lord, for I'm waiting before you. Speak to me. I wonder if some have really heard this calling. Because if they heard this calling, they wouldn't go back. They wouldn't go away. Because you stay with it by the grace and mercy of God. And you have been called in an hour, in a God-forsaken hour, to be able to walk totally by faith. My mind in the natural says, can anything come out of this world, this cesspit of a world? Anything holy, can it come out of it? Why, surely yes. We are the living proof of it. And yet we still doubt. We must allow God to deliver us for this. Instead of my attention on other things, we get distracted. And the enemy is so good at doing this. It's not so much that I don't want to hear. We all want to hear. Of course we do. We're all agreeing with this. I want to hear God. But I'm not devoted to the right things. And there is the problem. I'm devoted to my idea of serving God or what I would like to do. I had to learn that one very quickly when God called me, because I had worked out what I was going to do for the Lord. I was going to have a music ministry. That's what I wanted. And God said, you're not called for that. You may be musical, you may be trained, but that is not what I'm going to use you. I'm going to call you as a pastor, a teacher. And that's, of course, why I ran for a year. Because my attention was on other things. I was devoted on the wrong idea. And this is what we do for serving God. Did you know we're serving God right now, this moment? This is serving Him. As we come into His presence and we listen to what He says to us. You see, He may say whatever He wants, but we just don't hear. You see, if I don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach and deliver me, I will only listen to certain times. Don't let God deliver me. I'm only going to listen at certain times and when it suits me. But none of us have that luxury. I don't have that luxury. What this should be doing in us is making us desperate. Desperate for the courts of the Lord. Desperate for His presence. Desperate to be with Him. That is what is in the bride as she makes herself ready. She longs to be with Him because she's one with Him. He's teaching that oneness, that unity, that calling upon your life. God calls all believers to be part of the bride of Christ at the marriage feast, but not all will be. Because they don't have a heart for preparation, preparing for the bridegroom to come. The deeper life is really about preparation for the bridegroom to come for his bride. That's what this is all about. And she's got to be unshackled, unfettered from this world, not hindered by this world. Interfered by this world. This is God's bride, separated, sanctified unto Himself, that He's soon to marry. That is why He's the doorway into the deeper life. Now, some see this and some don't. Some have got different ideas of serving God. And that's why he can say whatever he wants. But the problem is, I just don't always hear. And there is our problem. But we're told that faith cometh by hearing the word of God. See, if I don't allow the Holy Spirit to teach and deliver me, I'm just going to listen at certain times when I feel his presence, or I feel the anointing, or I've had a good day today and I'm really ready, I'm fired up to listen to the Lord. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Because God knows us too well. He knows we give so much lip service, but we don't really always mean it. You see, the question is, have you heard God's voice today? Have you heard God's voice today? Do you know what he has said to you today? Well, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Proverbs 5, verses 1 and 2. My son, pay attention to my wisdom or words. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion, and your lips may keep knowledge. So there we are. He's saying, in other words, pay attention. Are you listening? Oh, we used to hear that many times when we were at school in the class. The teacher would say, are you listening? You're daydreaming. Are you paying attention? Maybe our parents said it. Because our minds wander off on other things. And it's so easy, we all do it. And he's saying exactly here, my son, pay attention to my wisdom, my words. So I said the question, didn't I? I said, have you heard God's voice today? Do you know what he's saying today? I know what he's saying today. I'm hearing his voice. Do you know what it is? The mind being renewed to walk by faith. It's not rocket science to hear God speak. Now he speaks in the ways that he does. As I've said, he'll speak through circumstances. He'll speak through the word of God. He'll speak through the preacher. He'll speak in numerous ways. But the point is, we need to hear what he's saying, because faith comes by hearing. To walk this walk of faith. And so this is why, as I bring this to a close, he's renewing the mind. He's delivering the mind. I believe that the Lord is doing quite a healing and a deliverance on the mind today as we're listening to this teaching. We may find that there are things that he's honed in on that I still am held by or have a problem with. But praise God, that's what the word of God is to do, so that you can bring that out before God, so that he can touch you, heal you, deliver you. Because this is the only way we're going to walk by faith. It doesn't come any other way. And this is how our Lord walked with God, and how God was able to do the things that he did through him, because he had the absolute assurance that he heard God and God heard him. And that's what relationship is about. Do you know when you get in prayer that your Heavenly Father has heard your prayer? The same as you hear him? Have you got that relationship with him, that assurance with him? Because that is what he's building. That is what he's working with us. And to do it, the mind has to be renewed, worked on. Because there still can be open doors where the enemy comes in, and we know behind every thought there often is a demon. And so little wonder why God's working this deliverance like he is. But let God be God. He knows how to do it, because it's not by might nor by power. It's by the Spirit of the laws. Hallelujah. So the mind be renewed to walk by faith. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking so plainly to us that we can miss things so easily. Thank you, Father, you're merciful, you're long-suffering. You never give up on us. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for putting it in our hearts to be here tonight in unity and oneness. And Lord, I pray especially that all those who hear this word will move into the blessing and the fruit of it. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Let him in constancy follow.